The Mother Earth Report with futurist Belinda Medlitsky.
Good afternoon, Belinda. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you all?
All right, thank you. So,
we're dying to understand
the topic, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Our interest.
Well, I was wondering today whether the UN would ever get around to condemning a new form of occupation and invasion, but it's highly unlikely since it's not Israel.
Yeah, although if the seals are Israeli or the sharks are Israeli, that kind of like opens it up a little bit. Okay, so tell us what's going on with the seals and the bears.
Right, so first of all, we cross to Belushia Guba, which is in Russia's eastern Arctic, where there are dozens of bears that have invaded a military village. So this is a military community of 2,500 people. And all of these polar bears have turned up on their doorsteps, literally.
Polar bears? So they're not even Russian brown bears?
Nope, polar bears.
Wow.
And, of course, it's exceptionally sad and at the same time quite amusing, but very poignant. So these Peeping Tom polar bears are looking through the windows, even strolling up to strollers. What's happening is that they are seeking food alternatives because climatic warming, there's a loss of sea ice. And they, in desperation, have gone seeking elsewhere. And the photos of these bears feeding off garbage dumps is absolutely heartbreaking. And it is so dangerous that the mayor of the town, or the equivalent of the mayor's, actually had to appeal for a state of emergency to be imposed so that the people stay inside. At the moment, the polar bears are protected by law. They cannot be harmed. But unfortunately, they are speaking about a cull.
Gosh.
And so they've actually said that this is an occupation by the polar bears. There are many cubs as well. So these polar bears are desperately trying to keep their children, their offspring alive. What is interesting to me and what is of particular importance as a theme today is that the World Wildlife Fund says that people and predators are increasingly meeting one another.
Oh, well, that's true. But Belinda, I want to ask you something. Are they certain that this is why the polar bears are behaving this way? Because often, because humans invade the habitats of wild animals, you know, our trash kind of lies around and it becomes food for raccoons, for smaller animals. Why would it be different for bears or lions,
in this
hyenas?
Case,
yeah.
So in this case, it is from their research shown to be a direct result of climate change. So it depends whether we are in fact responsible for that climate change or not. And I guess most of us would say yes.
Yeah.
And so indirectly or directly, I would say that humanity is responsible and that maybe the true invaders are us, because what is happening in other places in the world is also striking, which is where we will be coming to other occupiers in a moment. I am hoping that they're going to succeed in chasing the polar bears out with Project Tractor. So they're going to be chasing some brave souls, these poor polar bears, out with a tractor. But the question remains, so they chase them out, where are they going to go to find their traditional food source? Mm. And what will the impact be of polar bears eating garbage? It is very difficult to even contemplate, understanding as we do now the epigenetics. This certainly cannot be a tendency towards evolution and will alter them in ways that we cannot even contemplate.
Crazy. And so what's the story with the seals?
The seals, yeah, seals are such appealing creatures. They look so cute, especially when one sees them up close in Cape Town. But they actually are quite dangerous animals, and they're also endangered. And we have seal invaders in Newfoundland, in California. So in Canada, there are stranded seals. And this is as a result of the Roddington Brook becoming rapidly frozen. And so they crossed over into people's driveways, their backyards, their businesses, their doorways, their parking lots. They crossed the bay. The bay froze quicker than ever before in memorable history, or those who've lived there for at least 25 years have never seen such a phenomenon before. So it was the rapid freeze that sent them 4 to 5 miles from the ocean. At the moment, they are stranded and they are starving in Newfoundland. Although this is on the major seal migration route, usually the seals run or flop or whatever, flap, towards the sea, and in this case, they went in the opposite direction. There are dozens, so they've been catching them with nets, and it's a quite a long process. They've been driving them to Engelgli, which is 20 kilometers south, and then releasing them into the ocean. But these seals have got no food source there in the snow, they're starving in front of the people's eyes.
Lynn, I'm going to ask you another question, taking another tack. Every week we speak to you and we hear some unfortunate, sad story of somehow our involvement in nature causing
something pornographic. Belinda does also bring pornographic stories about naked bases and, you know, naked.
You've just taken
worries.
The wind completely out of my sails. Gone, finished. Gone. It's all right. No more questions.
No. We want to hear. We want to hear.
I want to know, Belinda, how do you remain optimistic?
I remain optimistic because I feel that the unique aspect that we do not take into consideration is that in the same way as humans destroy, they can create. And if we crowdsource all our minds and our brain power, we can come up with new solutions. And we do have inventors that are working on all of this. And occasionally I do bring some of those good news stories to you.
True.
And what I've been thinking about when I look at all the stranded animals is the possibility of creating artificial islands and having habitat engineers together with the marine biologists to try and restore the ecosystem sounds, of course, more simplistic than it would be when implemented. If we have to actually, you know, in the same way as the movies always show planets being terraformed in science fiction, I think we need to start marine forming sustainable habitats. Would be, of course, optimal if we could create those islands out of the plastic that we have unfortunately spewed so generously all over the planet. But a nice story, Simon, is that of Biffle.
Biffle?
Who is Biffle, yes, okay. Indeed. Biffle, who is a southern elephant seal. Yes, there is a sad side to it too, but at the moment we have been enjoying his company on Fisher Beach. He is so cute, and he was first spotted in 2014. He is on the beach. He has taken up residence there for a few weeks, and he is molting. The strange part about the molting of these seals is that they dispose of not only their fur but also their skin, which is quite an alarming thing to witness.
Yeah. And I'm sure also an attraction for sharks if it happens in the water.
Never thought about that, but he's shame. Yeah, he's on the beach at the moment, and
is
they've
he friendly?
Asked him to give him space.
Give him space. In other words, no. Okay, good.
So just let him roll around. But what is unusual that our scientists are observing is that he has come very far all by himself. This is highly unusual for a solitary seal. He's come all the way from the sub-Antarctic coast. So there is something there that is a mystery that needs to be solved. And I am hoping we're not going down the rabbit hole of the climate change again. But these are atypical incidents. And then a lovely story is that in California, thanks to wonderful President Trump, subject interpretation from all sides, the elephant seals
and
have
I like
taken
her so
over.
Much.
Yes, we'll keep this apolitical. But in California on Drake's Beach, 100 female seals and their pups, and just only a few males, have taken up residence. Whilst there was the government shutdown, the rangers, of course, were on strike or, well, not working. And the beach has been overtaken by the seals. They have camped out underneath the picnic benches, in the parking lots. And these seals were brought back from the edge of extinction. So what is the really wonderful story here is that human beings, the real invaders, have been banned from the beach whilst the pups are nursed, because this is the critical stage. It's a clincher as to whether they survive or not.
Interesting. And Belinda, can I just ask you, like, on that note, you know, it's amazing that we have the capacity and we have the power to turn a really, really bad situation around. For example, like we did with the wild dogs, right, in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But yes. how do we maintain the status quo? So that everybody can thrive. Because otherwise, you know, people who scream and shout about not culling elephants, you know, I think that it becomes like idiot compassion. Because
that is true.
There are times when elephants in the great numbers can be threatening to human lives, they can be threatening to their environment, and actually threaten other species as well. So how do we find the line? I mean, I'm thinking about the story that you told me about the seal pups. Amazing! Or that you told us about the seal pups. But can anybody else use that beach now?
Not at the moment. And the issue is whether humans have the right to invade nature. And there might be a case for saying no. For example, we build where we know that there are earthquakes.
Yeah.
We build homes where we are fully aware that there have been generational tsunamis experienced. Out of desperation, we spread all over. And I don't think that we can that we can sustain the status quo, nor can we backtrack. So it's got to be a time of novel solutions. There's first of all, why do we have dominion over even the creatures that live in the water when that is not our natural habitat, unless one is going to go back to Genesis and take it very, very literally? We need to kind of back away a little bit.
Yeah.
So optimally, we would need to say, this is our habitat, that is yours. But that is unfortunately now a pipe dream, because the ecology in every way is being destroyed. Next week, maybe we'll speak about or touch on the insect extinction, which we might think is cause for celebration, but it's not.
No, because then
the whole ecology of our entire planet is going to be affected with that domino effect that you were basically alluding to.
But when one thing goes out of kilter. Never mourn the demise of the Parktown prawn. I'm sorry. Never. Never, ever.
But you know, you're going to be depriving a whole generation of fun. I remember my brother and I running after one another, torturing one another with the Parktown prawn.
Belinda, thank you so much. We're going to leave it there this week. Thank you. And we look forward to speaking to you next week. God bless.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.